By unanimous vote, the board approved resolution 2013-14/26, release of temporary certificated employees. Meeting in order. Call to order, please. Roll call. Mr. Boone?
Roll call.
Oops. Excuse me. Bevy. Back behind. Here we are. Holly, you're up, kid.
Okay. So first I want to start off with the donuts. So we are starting Donut Day at Marysville, and it starts this week. We start with sales. So to kick it off, I brought donuts for the board members. Donut Day sales have started today and will continue until the 25th, and they can pick them up in the morning and after school, and we do not allow them to have them during school. March Madness is underway with a dress-up day for every day of the week for the entire month. This week's dress-up days, Monday was Stuffed Animal Day, today was Tacky Tourist Day, tomorrow is What Not to Wear Wednesday, and Thursday is Team USA Day. Our Sadie's Dance is fast approaching, and this year's theme is Western. All the girls are wrestling up a cowboy for the hoedown. The dance will take place on the Friday the 21st. Pennies for Patience has been extended another week, so the homeroom competition will end this Friday. Our Kick Butts campaign will be on the 19th, where students can play games on the streets for free giveaways that promote a positive tobacco-free campus. Our FFA week was wrapped up 2 weeks ago, where we had games and truck contests, and it was overall a great success. Our Teachers of the Month for February was actually a janitor, Manny, and that's all for Marysville. And Lynn Hurst, they had a blood drive on February 26th. It was very successful. President's Council was on February 27th. Winter Sports Banquet on March 5th. Senate meeting was on March 5th. Mr. Peterson and Fran went to CATA in Reno on March 4th through the 7th. And Yuba Gardens tour was on March 10th, and that was very successful. Their food day is on March 12th, and there's no school on March 14th. They have the Kahissi testing March 18th through the 19th, and their dress-up days for Battle of the Sexes week is Pajama Day, Double Trouble, which is Twin Day, Gender Bender, and Barbie and Ken Day. And then the last day, girls wear hot pink and boys wear black. And they are also preparing for their next big event, which is Sadie's and the Battle of Sexes Rally. And they have an Acadeca quiz in Sacramento on March 22nd.
Thank you, Holly. Now recognition, A-plus school community partners. Board, please.
Tonight we have Sarah O'Brien, principal of Johnson Park, who will be making several presentations, starting with the A-plus community partner.
All right, so my A-plus community partner is Dan Joel, and I wrote up a little something about Dan because he's been quite instrumental in helping our school this year and in previous years as well. Dan Joel is a realtor at Prudential California Realty, but also connected to our school in a different way. So, D'Angelo has been connected to Johnson Park for the past 5 years. We were gifted with his presence 5 years ago as he came to Johnson Park as a STARS after-school coordinator. He currently serves as our STARS site lead, along with being a real estate agent for Prudential. We consider Dan to be our resident superhero. He goes above and beyond daily to help out at school functions that are related to Johnson Park. He helped create our PBIS video, runs our No Behavior Note assemblies, sets up audio equipment for all of our events, and is always helping to support PTO events. Dan is the man you can always count on. Thank you, Dan Joel, for maintaining a strong and positive relationship with the students, staff, and community at Johnson Park.
Thank you.
My A-plus classified employee is Chantel Reynolds. This is Chantel's first year at Johnson Park. She took on the responsibility of a new position, our school technology lead position, which we just created this year at Johnson Park. Chantel has gone above and beyond the requirements of the position and continues to be an active participant in every event at Johnson Park. She's helped to increase student technology engagement while helping to also facilitate professional development for teachers related to technology. Chantel always has a positive attitude and builds positive relationships with all of our stakeholders. Thank you, Chantel, for exceeding our vision of the potential impact of the school technology lead position. You are truly an asset to Johnson Park and a SuperJet employee. Thank you. My A-plus certificated employee wasn't able to be here, actually, because she's picking up instruments in Corning for our after-school music program, so I think she has a good excuse, but I'll still read a little something about her. Erin Pelfrey has been a teacher at Johns Park for 10 years. As a former music teacher in the district, she has always maintained her passion for music education. This year, she was presented with an opportunity to facilitate an after-school music program. Students have had the opportunity to participate in beginning recorder, clarinet, flute, and advanced recorder classes after school. She also successfully coordinated a winter program for all of our students at our school. Along with coordinating the music program, she has worked for the last 2 years in educating Johnson Park teachers about Common Core math standards as she attended the Math Cubed grant. Erin's positive attitude and music expertise are an asset to Johnson Park. I'll give her her award.
Comments from board members, Mr. Boom?
Oh, excuse me, school reports, sir.
Good evening. This year has been an incredible year of transformations at Johnson Park. A few of our focus areas this year have been Common Core implementation, just as with other schools, technology integration, as I kind of spoke about with Chantel, with our school lead tech position, creation of the after-school music program. We have a Girls on the Run program this year, which is new to our site, which has really been a great influence on girls age third through sixth grade. Implementation of a transitional kindergarten program this year, and also our new behavior, positive behavior intervention support behavior program. So tonight, I would like to focus our new behavior program and show you the evolution of our SuperJet behavior program in a video that we created about the program. So I'm going to go ahead and show you that now.
SuperJet, faster than a speeding plane, more powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's SuperJet. Yes, it's SuperJet, a strange visitor from another school who came to Johnson Park with powers beyond all that have entered this school. SuperJet, who can change bad behavior at one school and who, disguised as Dan the Stars Man, an unassuming after-school coordinator, fights the bad discipline battle to improve behavior at Johnson Park Elementary School and make every student a SuperJet. And now, another exciting adventure of SuperJet. To kick off our SuperJet program, all staff members were trained before school started. To increase the excitement, posters were placed all over school asking, "Are you a SuperJet?" If we wanted our students to act like SuperJet, we needed to teach them how to be SuperJet. At the beginning of the school year, we had an assembly to show them the do's and don'ts of each area of campus. Every staff member on campus has blue tickets to give to those students who are being respectful, responsible, and safe. Every Friday at Friday Flag, blue tickets are chosen, one from each classroom, and those students receive a prize.
Ricky from room 15!
Classrooms are also given the opportunity to earn gold Superjet class tickets. These tickets are given to a whole classroom for respectful, responsible behavior. Staff perspective.
This is my first year teaching at Johnson Park, and it's my first year teaching period. And the positive behavior plan that we have going on this year, I find is really effective for my kids because it keeps the rules simple. There's three rules that they have to follow: be respectful, be responsible, and be safe. And I find that all of my classroom rules and anything that they're doing, whether it's at break or in the classroom, all file in under those three rules. And so it makes it really easy for my kids to remember, and it also puts the rules in a positive way. It's not so negative, like don't do this or don't do that. It's, you know, are you being a superjet? Are you being respectful? And it makes them kind of take a look at what they're doing if they're doing something inappropriate, and allows for more self-reflection. So I find that the positive behavior plan makes every kid want to be a superjet.
Hi, my name is Mindy Goodson, and I've been at Johnson Park for 9 years, and I am the school lead for our PBIS program. And this year, I have noticed some positive changes at our school with our program. I noticed the consistency in behaviors and follow through with the staff, and I have also noticed that the students really know the rules, because we have three rules: be responsible, be respectful, and be safe, and all the students are able, when they make a mistake, to quote which rule they have broken and how they can fix it to be better.
Hi, I'm Steve Mejia, and I just wanted to share some of the changes that I've noticed in the last year with the behavior, with the new behavior plan. We've got actually a healthier, more positive environment, which is in turn more productive as well. Kids are happier, they feel more safe. We're seeing kids that are making better choices along with our staff members, and it's been a joy this entire year.
Student perspective.
Responsible, respectful, and safe. By being good at the cafeteria, when I'm done, is dumping my tray in the garbage can, I put my head down. Superjets are respectful, responsible, and safe. And that means to me that you have to be nice to everybody, be kind. Being responsible means take credit for your actions. And being safe would be use equipment properly.
It means to be a superjet is that you're sitting there being respectful, responsible, and safe. Where you be respectful to your teachers and your fellow followers and stuff. So you sit there and help them with the things that they're struggling with. If we're a teacher, help them if they need help with anything. Being safe is following all the rules. Don't jump off of the things that you're not supposed to be jumping off of. And pretty much then keep your hands and feet to yourself and everything else.
Superjets means being kind and respectful and nice to others. Superjets are respectful, responsible, and safe.
Communication continues to be a key component to our program. It's essential that we communicate to parents, staff members, and students in a number of different ways. We've chosen to communicate by Twitter, Facebook accounts, staff bulletin boards, school messenger, and newsletters. This year, Johnson Park will be completing Tier 2 of our PBIS program. We look forward to the implementation of new components as we enter Tier 3 next year. Parent and community support will be essential to the success of our program. We will train all staff and students at the beginning of each school year as we continue to build our Superjet program. We understand that each component is essential to the success of our program. We invite you to visit Johnson Park and see our program and all of our Superjet students. The question is, are you a Superjet?
So that's just a little bit of our program. It really is, it's been a two-year process. So we started last year kind of in preparation, and we continue to build and learn from every experience. So it definitely has been a cultural transformation at our school, and it's really exciting to see all of the changes. So, is there any questions?
Questions, board?
Thank you,
Sarah.
Thank you.
Excellent job. Now comments from the board. Mr. Boone? Mr. Miller.
Attended a meeting at Lyndhurst last week and on the local funding program. And I was very impressed with the students out there, especially FFA students. They had some really good ideas, and I think we should look at implementing a couple of them anyway. and I did enjoy being out there and seeing some of the old students I had worked with. They're doing fantastic.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Fleury.
Lyndhurst invited me to attend on Monday, where they had all the students from Yuba Gardens, with the exception of 50 that did not get their slips in, to visit. They wanted to show them what it looks like to be a Lyndhurst student. They went through the classes. There was over 110 Lyndhurst students that worked as guides. It was amazing how they coordinated it. Every teacher was involved. They said, come through my class. And talking to the kids, they said they really had a good feeling about Lyndhurst. They know what it is. They don't have to go through the worries over the summertime. And tomorrow night, Phil and I are going to go there, having a parent meeting to get them involved in Lyndhurst to know what it is. It's not a scary place. And I commend the staff for the work that they put in that. Also on the PBIS, how many schools do we have now? They're doing about 6 or 7?
About that, yeah.
When we went to San Diego to the CSBA conference, I went to one of the meetings on PBIS. They talked about it, that some entire districts are doing it. A necessary evil we have is we're going to have kids that misbehave. And I remember it's tough, especially at the middle school, when you suspend kids, you would have no choice. You're going to lose ADA. And I remember 20 years ago we were told by the district office, you've got to cut the suspension rate at Yuba Gardens. So we put in a program similar to this with a different name, and we cut it 3 years by 50%, and that is a lot of money. So this program, I really hope our district really gets behind this. Some states are behind it. It's going across the United States now to improve the behavior of kids. It's positive for the society as they go into society, and it's money for to educate those, and they're not losing in suspension. So this really is a very good program, and it was touted very highly by CSPA.
Thank you. Mr. Ray?
I'd like to take a moment and defer to Holly Tarr here. I think she has some special guests in the audience you might want to introduce.
My mom, Marcy Tarr, and my dad, Ken Tarr.
Thank you very much for raising our rep to the board here. I'm going to add that Coach Marcy is the track coach for Marysville High School, and her husband is just about supports every athletic event that we've ever had on this campus, so we'll go from there. The only other thing I have to add is that a week from Friday night over at McKinney will be the Yuba Sutter Search for Talent, which is sponsored by the Exchange Club, and everybody's invited to come and have a look and see some of the talent that we have in this area.
I'd like to congratulate Holly's parents, too. You got a wonderful daughter there. I had a chance to visit Cedar Lane and talk to some of the personnel in the front office and some of the teachers, and the campus was in impeccable condition, and morale was really high. And I later on in the week had a chance with Mr. Harris and Mr. Danable to participate in the McKinney Science Innovation Program. There you go. Sorry. Great job. It's just incredible. And the campus, since they've done the new security measures, it looks like a brand new school. But more importantly, the majority and the number of kids that participated in the science projects, and from volcanoes and just about every neat thing you could see. And even the kids that were stuck in the bleachers were not thrown out. And there were only a few of them, just about, I'd say, 90% at least participated in the whole program. So it was a great week. Mr. Danville?
That was a great opportunity to see the minds of those science students up at McKinney. Some of their projects were of quality research, and something that I wish everybody would have an opportunity to have seen. Nice job of coordination with the faculty there. Students went above and beyond as far as their research. Very nice.
Thank you. Mr. Harris?
I'd like to congratulate the Spelling Bee winners from Foothill and McKinney School. I think next week, to participate in the state. And also I'd like to wish Lindhurst High School Acadeca good luck.
Thank you. Okay, opportunity now for employee organizations to address the board. No? Any other organization? I have no cards for public comments for anyone to speak to the board. So with that, the superintendent's report.
Tonight I have no report.
Okay. You surprised me with that one. We can approve in one motion for both minutes. No one was absent for the board meetings of February 25th and March 4th, if I can get a motion.
I have one question, quick question, if I,
sure.
if I may.
Sure.
I must have fallen asleep last meeting. Dr. Todd requested to sell some property. Could you be a little more specific?
I'm sorry.
You requested that we had some property that you would like to put out to the public for sale, and requested that the board okay it. Consensus of the board. And I was wondering, this is the part I fell asleep. Could you be a little specific on the property you were requesting?
My request to the board was authorization to continue negotiations on two pieces of property, specifically the property that is by Linda Elementary School and some property that we were looking into up in the foothills.
Yeah.
So those are the two specific pieces of property.
Okay. I apologize for that because
no problem.
I had forgotten I wanted to ask you that. And thank you.
All right. Back to the minutes of February 25th and March 4th. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Motion by Mr. Miller, a second?
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Rick. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passed unanimously. Now, consent agenda. If you have any questions, you might want to take note of number 6, the school calendar. Not having it pulled, just some little things can be changed. If there's not, do I have a motion for approval of the consent?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harrison, a second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda passes unanimously. Okay, where am I at here? Here we are. All right, Board of Trustees, new business, MCAA Common Core Standards Implementation Funding. Purpose of this item is to request the board review the Common Core Standards Implementation Funding Plan for the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts, MCAA.
Well, I'd like to say hello to the board, to Gay, Romero, and Lisa back there. I'm here to ask you to review and ask me any questions you may have about the MCAA Common Core State Standards Implementation Plan. If you look on page 8, the bottom there, you can see we have a total amount of $75,562 that our school has to spend over the next year and a half by the end of 2014-15. And with that, last month the district had a plan, and they allocated 54% to the new math materials. And we did, if you look at this plan, I have $40,803 allocated to that, and that's exactly the same amount as the district. Where I'm a little bit different is with technology. I have just a little bit more money percent-wise allocated to technology because we're in dire need of computers, especially with the new testing we have. I'm hoping to order 60 new Chromebooks along with the headphones and two carts so that they can be shared among classrooms. So that's our allocation. So right now I'm just asking you to ask me any questions, to review it, and then at the next board meeting it will be agendized for, hopefully, for approval. So
questions from the board, please.
Yes, and it is the same three categories. It's the same requirements. It's
right.
Just MCAA gets to do their own separate since they are funded separately as a charter school.
Will this have any effect on your arts programs overall with at all with the technology? Will that carry on into the...
Actually, yes, that will help in all areas. Could help in graphic arts, for example, and it'll help in all academic areas because it won't. The computers will not be used just for testing, although they are a requirement for testing. They can be used throughout the year, and that's why we have the cart, so they can be used that way.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, and I'll be on next board meeting's agenda.
Okay.
Thank you. We move to the addendum to the agenda, March 11th, 2014.
Good evening, board members. Tonight, I am presenting the change order for the Olivehurst classroom building project. The majority of our construction projects come in under the GMP that is approved by the board at the beginning of the construction project, and that is including the district-owned contingency. These projects are presented to you in your Friday board packets with a summary of all of the change orders that have been completed during the project. However, when a project exceeds the GMP, the Facilities Department will bring back the entire project for complete approval to the board for any overtures that exceeded the amount that was in the predefined contingency and GMP. The All-of-First Classroom Building exceeded the GMP and contingency by $44,000. And the project was completed last year. However, in January, we finally finalized the last amount of dollars with the project. There was one large change order on the project, and that was worth $151,000. And I just want to describe that one because that was obviously a large change order, and it was not something that we knew before the project went up for the approval of the GMP. The project was originally approved through DSA in 2009, actually September 2010, and the project had all of its local and state approvals at that time, including OPED. However, during the GMP process, the architect and contractors and district realized that during a project that had occurred in between, there was a landscape water booster pump that had been installed where the fire lane was supposed to go next to the classroom building. And so at that point, we knew that we had to reroute our fire lane, and that meant we had to go back to OPED for approval for the new fire lane for the fire truck access to the site. When we went back to OPED, they informed us that in between 2010, when the plans were approved through OPED originally, and when we were bidding the project in 2012, they had installed a larger fire water line on the north side of McGowan. And now, to increase the water pressure for fire suppression at the school site, they requested that we connect to their new fire line on the north side of McGowan instead of their regular domestic water line on the south side. So between renegotiating and reallocating the positions where the fire lane would go on the site, moving the larger water line and moving it across the street to connect, as well as installing multiple fire hydrants at Olivehurst that we weren't originally planning on installing because OPED didn't have the water pressure at the time, and that entire change order was the cost of $151,000. The other additional dollars for the change orders were district-requested items that came up during the project that the district felt were items that should be changed to make the project a better classroom building for the site. So tonight I'm asking for you to approve the completion project amount of $2,774,795 to complete the Olivehurst Classroom Building project. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Questions?
They've been answered.
Okay.
Have motion then?
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion for approval. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Reck. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Mr. Miller and Mr. Danable. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Penny's waiting.
You're up, Penny. Gay almost had me headed out the door. The purpose of this item is to request the board approve the 2013-14 second interim budget report for the period ending
1/31/14. Hi. Good evening, President Crawford, board members, Dr. Todd. Our interim CBO, Terry Ryland, had a previous commitment, so I'm here tonight presenting our second interim. I'm pleased to do so. Tonight we're going to, on our agenda, is a discussion of the state budget process. We'll talk about our key assumptions that go with every budget, enrollment in ADA, the local control funding formula, our budget, and our multi-year projections. We'll go over the fund balance and the details of that, and then talk about the next steps. So the state budget process starts in January with the governor's proposed budget for the year. Then the LAO, the Legislative Analyst Office, reviews it and makes their comments. And we're right now in March, right before the April time frame when all of the taxes come in and the state gets to see what its cash is going to be after the April 15th. And then they'll recalculate the COLA at that time. In May, after further discussion, there'll be the May revise. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with that occurs. And that'll reflect the tax adjustments. And then June 15th or later, and sometimes much later, as we know, they'll finalize the state budget, and we will have to have ours adopted by June 30th. The state isn't always on time with theirs. But before the state finalizes theirs, we have to be aware that there could be, there'll be all the lobbying of other services other than education. Right now, education's getting a big portion of the state budget. And we have to think that there's the prisons and the health care that could also, be weighing in until they finally adopt it. But typically the May revise is what all the districts will use as the final to finalize what we'll bring to you in June for adoption. The key budget assumptions, of course, as you're used to hearing, the step and column adjustments, vacancies, late hires, all of that gets reflected. Using the prior year P2 ADA due to the declining ADA that we're experiencing this year, we're always only guaranteed the prior year. And because when we adopt the budget in June for next year, we'll be using this year's declining enrollment amount. We talked about that at first interim. Our CBEDs came in 89 students fewer than the prior year. And the CBEDs is that October count when we count all of the students in the district. We use the local control funding formula and the gap percentage for the current year. I believe Terry or Dr. Todd has discussed the gap, and we'll get into that a little bit further on and what that percentage really means. The current level of allocated SELPA revenue is included in this second interim. However, there may be some reductions to the IDEA, that federal portion, and all of our special ed funds, you'll want to remember, flow through the county office SELPA to us. So we don't always have direct control of that. The prior categorical program revenues and costs that are now part of the local control funding formula, such as transportation, the economic impact aid, and Tier 3, have been moved to the unrestricted side of the general fund. That's an important assumption to understand because transportation at first interim was on the restricted side still. And then when we adopted the budget prior first interim, but when we adopted, we were using back the revenue limit formula. So now all of this has changed this year. Enrollment in ADA, Terry's provided a history, and you can see the CBEDs, that October picture of enrollment compared to our average daily attendance at P2, which occurs in April, that the variance per year is shown on this graph. And as you can see, that P2 projection for this year does not look good. So we'll be working on what that's all about and how to correct it. Local control funding formula components based on the grade span base grants, and this really will get simpler. That was the entire idea of this big change from the revenue limit calculation to the local control funding formula and getting rid of all those little separate pots of money and rolling it all in so that the local control can be at the board level here without all those little compliance regulations for each little pot of money. Like the old gate or SIP or all the things that were flexed that are now rolled in. And so when you look at it now, the formula is based on those grade span base grants. And there's a nice picture of the numbers on a future slide that kind of shows you what those numbers are. And then we add on for our K-3 class size reduction and our career tech ed at the high school level. And those are called the grade span adjustments. And you'll hear GSA will be a new acronym that we'll be talking about forevermore as long as the local control funding formula is in place. What this second interim includes in the multi-year projection, how every site must average no more than 24-1 by the target date on the class size reduction and make progress toward that each year. You'll see later that the multi-year projections include the just three sites. We have just three elementary sites that are not quite at that 24-1 yet, and then we're planning next year to put them there, to do that, and that'll be showing up in a multi-year projection. The ROP is also rolled into the local control funding formula, so there's work being done with the Tri-County ROP for the next couple of years and how that funding is going to play out, and we're accounting for all of that too. The supplemental grants are an additional 20%, and then the concentration grants are 50% on top of that. And our targeted percent, which went from 77% at first interim to 83% at second interim, that targeted percent is the free and reduced price meal students, the English learner students, and the foster youth as an unduplicated count. So if one student were all three of those, we count them one time, and then that's the percentage that is our targeted percent that gets added to those other percentages for additional funding. So we're a big winner. And while we have unfortunate students that are in those categories, it provides for a lot more money for our district. There are a lot of districts that don't have that percentage that wouldn't get as much money as we are per student. So this is a little bit more. I think I just explained this slide without looking at it, but the gap funding percent increased, and it's important to realize that 28% is not an increase in funding. It's that difference in our targeted amount in 2021, where we are, and then how much of that gap is funded each year on a percentage basis to ratchet up to the full 100% supposedly at 2021. And we are using the school services projection of a more conservative amount of gap funding for the next 2 years. So here's the numbers. And it shows you what the difference is for those weighted grade span amounts. The K-3, you can see where it ratchets up as the students get older, because it's more expensive for the older student than the younger. But then you do get those add-ons where you see the grade span adjustment, the 723 per student that is in the K-3 level, and then $219 for the CTE career tech ed for those high school students. And I think the more often you hear this, then the more familiar it'll get to you. And this is looking at just basically looking at our SACS general fund second interim budget. And what you want to concentrate on, really, for our purposes, is to look at that unrestricted column, because that's the one that we have the control over. The restricted funds require certain compliance for expenditures, and then anything that is and we maintain the expenditures to the revenue, and then if there's any carryover, then we just budget that to be expended the next year. So the unrestricted part is, this is just like looking at our SACS report that goes to the state. The change in revenues, the change in expenditures from first interim to second interim, and then the surplus with a net decrease in fund balance. Overall revenues to expenditures, we're projecting at second interim to be deficit spending $979,000 this year, leaving us an ending fund balance of a little over $8 million. And this is specifically the changes for expenditures and the revenues from first interim to second interim. And I think what you want to, what shows the $4.3 million is the transportation. You'll see the revenue and then the exact same expenditure amount is, and what that's reflecting is the move from the restricted side of the budget. If you looked back at the first interim, you'd see that much more in restricted, and now that's over on the unrestricted side. But the bottom line is that there is no impact to the ending fund balance because we moved that. And that's because it's the local control funding formula, it's rolled into that. So it becomes unrestricted now. But we're still providing our same transportation services. This is just a nice pie graph of where our general fund revenues come from. And as you can see, 76% comes from the local control funding formula now. And this is the general fund expenditures, where you can see 77% of all of our expenditures are salary and benefits, with 86% on the unrestricted side are salary and benefits. The multi-year assumptions, we use the school services gap funding percentage, which is, you know, what goes into the calculation to determine how much additional money we're going to get. And then we're assuming flat ADA and enrollment based on what that projected decrease is. We're including the step-in column and then adding 1%. Previously, if you'll recall, which I'm sure you do, we used to fund from the general fund a half of 1% of expenditures to the transfer to the deferred maintenance fund, and then the state would match that. Well, that's all been rolled into the local control funding formula also, but we still certainly have deferred maintenance needs. So we, in our multi-year projection, included that 1% there. We removed certain one-year costs that were included this year that we know we won't be incurring next year. I believe there was a little bit of an increase, about $65,000 in the wireless project. You know, that was a multi-million or million something dollar project, mostly funded through E-rate, but, and so we just accounted for that type of one-year cost, just including an increase for book supplies and services to account for inflation. You know, year over year those things increase. We've anticipated the retirements and any mid-year hire costs. We've added three additional K-3 class size reduction teachers. That brings then all of our classes in those other three elementary schools up to the 24-1, doing that next year, and then we're done. We don't have to be concerned with ratcheting it up according to the state law and making sure that they meet that little percentage of whatever the gap is to get there. We're just going to do it. They're all real close right now anyway, and three teachers will do it. The new local control funding for each year, this is what comes from our actual calculation. The formula is several tabs in the worksheet, and this is one of them. And it shows, if you look at that top line under description, total target funding by 2021. And that $89 million, and then you see the base, and then that supplemental concentration. You'll kind of get used to seeing those kind of broken out, because that change in base is what is truly unrestricted, and then the increase in supplemental concentration needs to be tied to our LCAP and what, you know, either the student achievement improvement, increase in funding, or in increasing services. The things that are required by the LCAP. And this shows it going down this year, 13-14 in the green, and then the next year, 14-15, and then 15-16. And the progress percentage is the percentage toward the LCAP, toward that target each year. And then when you get to the final year, it'll be 100% progress because it's the last amount that we would have to get there. And hopefully we'll get there. The supplemental concentration funds. And I think this explains what I just explained too. So this is the multi-year projection, a much easier to read layout that would also be in our SACS report, showing the general fund, unrestricted, unrestricted, for this year and the next 2 years, which as you recall is what's required so that then we can certify our positive certification. And then the what to note here is while we are deficit spending the $979,000 this year, and I wanted to go ahead and mention that typically you see where Mr. Allgaier would have a $500,000 reduction to that deficit because he over the years had analyzed that we typically would have $500,000 that we didn't spend that was in the budget just because not everybody spends down to the very penny. But Ms. Ryland decided that we wouldn't include that $500,000 savings just because of there's so many unknowns right now. So we did not put that in. Otherwise, it would have been closer to the $500,000 deficit spending. But then you'll look at the increase in fund balance projected for next year of additional $4 million. And then in 15-16, another $3.3 million. All good news.
Penny, can you go over those increased projections again, and what do you base those increases on?
It goes back to here, but the multi-year projections also take into consideration, the other assumptions that we talked about. We've included the step and column, and I think there's a little more detail on down here. And then these percentages of increase progress toward target from 14, from the additional amount of local control funding formula, we should be getting about $8 million more dollars next year, and through the local control funding formula. And then it drops down substantially because it's going from that 28% of the funding gap down to school services said 7.8, and that's what all the districts use. We always try to go apples to apples with what everybody uses for the projections. And then I think, too, a little bit later it may talk about the fact that the state economy typically doesn't see a run of much more than 7 or 8 years of positive, and we're in the fifth year right now. So I think they're trying to get us, the governor, this being his project, is trying to get us there as quickly as possible with that big chunk for next year. Does that answer your question? And then I think there'll be a little bit more here too. Yeah, and that's from them, and then the 28% is what everybody is being told at this time. Now, it could change, it may revise, but right now that's what everyone's, and it very well may, but right now that's what everyone's using. So I think we get a little more detail. Here's the fund balance, and we have, it's probably easier for me to look here. This is our standard stores and revolving cash designated for economic uncertainty. Our state required 3% included here. Then Ms. Ryland had at school services recommendation put in a local control funding formula reserve of 4-5% just because of these big fluctuations and the need to have a substantial reserve. And this is a little more detail with just some assignments of the technology E-rate, Ms. Ryland included the second half of a language arts adoption in 14-15, and that may actually, I don't see the first half of it there, but security camera project. And then this 3.9 in the 14-15 under unbudgeted supplemental concentration, that's, money that the LCAP will help determine expenditure of. And then the same with the $4 million in 15-16. Currently, we have restricted balances, but again, we'll look at expending any carryover and making those balance for any projections, because we can do that with our categorical funding. And then here again, you see the LCFF reserve up to 5%. Would have been nice to get something that was a little simpler to explain being up here, but this is what it is. This is the new reality. Here's the other funds. Legally, you need to know the ending fund balances that are projected for all of our other funds, and this lists all of them. I believe Tim has a bit of an increase to his ending fund balance that I'm sure he's happy about. And the highlight here would be to, again, concentrate on that our facilities funding being very low. The capital facilities is our developer fee funds, and even that's just the $1.7 million projected. And, of course, the building fund using finishing the Ella project will take us down to just, really not much. And deferred maintenance has already been swept. When we needed it, we were able to use it, and we did. So we want to consider, taking care of our deferred maintenance in the future. Uncertainties and prudence. Okay, we need to address the declining enrollment, and we'll budget accordingly. It'd be nice if we could get that up. We have the Affordable Care Act on the horizon, and that could mean that we would need to offer certain employees that don't qualify for health and welfare benefits, that we could need to offer them that or pay penalties, and none of that has been finalized or calculated what the cost of that could be yet. Deferred maintenance, as I mentioned. And then right now, too, it's real important, and I'm sure the LCAP folks that are working on that are realizing that there's no more instructional materials funding. It's all part of the local control funding formula, so we have to consider that with the math book adoption at $1 million, well, language arts, I've always heard language arts is a little more expensive than math, but that type of thing, down the line with this extra funding that we have. And then here's that mention of the eventual downturn in the economy, and I believe I've heard that we're in the fifth year of the upswing right now. And then that LCFF reserve for unpredictable annual gap funding, which we are already seeing, 28%, and then down to 7%. Right now, this year, it's at almost 12%. But then that percentage changes as we get closer to the target. So it's kind of almost one of those circular formulas. Pressure from other state programs for ECOLA and their piece of the pie. This is what I was talking about with the prisons, the health care, and whoever else, transportation, infrastructure, all the needs of the state budget, and whether or not we'll get to keep what they're saying we'll get. And so we want to deal with that through increasing those reserves to be prudent and safe. Second interim certification, positive. And next steps, LCAP is in full swing. We're working on the budget development for next year. And interestingly enough, if we had had audit recommendations, we would be working in last year doing those corrective actions on 12-13, working in our current year 13-14, and also working in 14-15 for budget development. So there is a period of time in the fiscal year that we could be working with 3 years. But fortunately, we didn't have any audit findings, so we're down to just 2 years right now. In May, we'll get the May revise from the governor's office, and then school services and the powers that be there will analyze that, tell us what it means to schools, and then we'll bring that to you. June 17th, we'll have a public hearing on the LCAP and the district budget, and then a week later, bring it back for the board to be requested to adopt the LCAP and the 14-15 budget. And that's it.
Very well done, Penny. Any questions?
Yeah, Penny, has school services given you any information on any expectations with the drought going on, losses of jobs, losses of revenue through income tax and sales taxes? Are they starting to tackle that yet?
You know, the only thing I've heard is on the CBO listserv through FICMAT, the CBOs write in with questions and others answer, and I happen to be on that. Somebody asked that said that their county had asked them for their water conservation policy, and they said, we don't have one. Does anyone else? And but other than that, nothing at that big picture level yet. We may certainly hear something in May, but not to my knowledge.
Yeah, it would probably be closer to May, June, maybe, once they decide water allocations for different areas through the state and federal programs. So, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Thank you very much, Betty.
Thank you.
I believe, Mr. Fleury, before we adjourn, we lost a... Oh, excuse me. I need a motion to approve 213 to 14 second budget. Mr. Dannable?
Yes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Miller. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Now, please, Mr. Fleury.
Recently, one of our former employees and the wife of Dean Sellers, who was account, was he the treasurer, assessor?
County's
Auditor. Thank you, Lisa. Passed away. The funeral's going to be Thursday. She is also, she had worked at Cova Lodge. She had worked at Kynock. Her family was very supportive during the years of our school. Their kids went through the school. In fact, I taught a couple of them. And the funeral's going to be Thursday. She had a long, her and her husband have served in our community, our schools. So I would like to close in her memory.
Thank you. This meeting then is adjourned until March 25th, 2014.